So bless Dick. He told me that story not long after he'd heard what I'd done, and I felt a bit better. Look, Peter is a bit like that. Peter is a bit like that. That's why I love him so much. Reading this story, I was struck by two things. Firstly, the radical change in Peter. Pre-resurrection, he was a different man. Post-resurrection, as Stephen was saying last week, he was completely changed, a changed man. The other thing I want to focus on is the phrase, he uses, silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give to you. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. So we'll look at those and see what they have to say to us today. Now look, the boldness and authority of Peter, after the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, he immediately starts preaching. He becomes a public speaker. Now he goes to the temple and he finds that in response to God's Spirit, he also has the same powers to heal that Jesus had. And it's also noted that the Sadducees, they saw that in verse 13, chapter 4. When the Sadducees saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note, and this is important, that those men had been with Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if people also noted us and then wondered, maybe they even knew us before from school. I've got a few school friends I still meet up with. And they wonder how they changed. And they find out that Ian had been with Jesus. Or Stephen had been with Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing? I'm sure it does happen. I'm sure it does. C.S. Lewis says that if you walk in faith and you follow Christ, you get a second education. And I can testify to that. And it's not just getting an education in a seminary and filling our head with knowledge. It's the wisdom that comes from walking in the light of God. God will give you a second education. And people will wonder where that wisdom came from. I guarantee that. It's notable that Peter points unashamedly and clearly to the resurrected Jesus as the source of the power of this healing. There is a bold but humble confidence that Peter has that he did not have before. And the religious teachers recognize this. Now, it wasn't always like that. And let's look at the litany of blunders that Peter chalks up before the resurrection. Because, if anything, they're really encouraging. The first thing was walking on water. Jesus was walking on water. He came towards the disciples. And what did Peter do? He says, really you, Lord? Call me out so I can walk too. So he did, took two steps, and then started sinking. Some preachers go, yeah, he had courage. But he failed. And Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. Okay, the second one was the famous confession. This is amazing. Matthew 16, who do you say I am, said Jesus, because everyone was wondering who he was. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah? And Jesus says, blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Spirit of the living God has revealed this to you. And upon you, I will build my church. But you know what happens in the next minute? Next minute? Do you remember what happens? I'll just remind you. Next minute, Jesus says, look, I must go and die to all the disciples. And Peter goes, no, you shall not die. No way. You're not doing that. And Jesus rebukes him. He says, get behind me, Satan. You're concerned about the things of the world rather than the things of God. So that was a big, big setback for Peter. He was uplifted one moment, and he was rebuked the second. It's because their relationship was so close. Those of us here who are discipling someone, we talk about the whole balance of invitation in relationship and challenge. If you've got a lot of invitation with someone, you also have the right to challenge them. AYM guys know this. They're doing this. They're living this. We as a church are starting to do this as well. Develop relationships with one another, discipling relationships where you can invite and challenge one another to grow. This is exactly what Jesus did. We go to the Last Supper. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And Peter says, no, don't wash me. You don't need to wash me. And then Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. And then Peter, it's typical Peter, goes, oh, wash all of me, wash all of me. And Jesus says, Peter, you've had a bath, all right? You're fine. It's just your feet, they're dirty. Okay. So he lost face again there hugely. And then it goes on. Jesus says, all of you will fall away to his disciples because of me. And then Peter says, not me. I'll never forsake you. I will even die with you. And the next thing that happens, next minute, he denies him not just once, but three times. And then it goes on. Once Jesus was arrested, I think Peter just forgot totally about the Sermon on the Mount. Pulls out a sword, whips off the ear of Caiaphas's servant, or the high priest's servant. And Jesus calmly restores the ear. Peter just didn't get it. Then, of course, he denies him three times, but then Jesus dies on the cross. And this is when it really hits the road. This was the nail in the coffin for Peter. They hide in fear of their lives, and then when everything is safe, he decides to go back fishing. He gives up. He's a giver-upper. He quits. Then Jesus, you remember, he's on the shore, and he calls Peter to him. He takes him aside and asks him three times if he loves him. So gently restores Peter. Peter was crushed. He was a totally broken man. Guys, if you continue to follow Christ, you too will be broken. I'll repeat that again. If you continue to follow Christ, and this is not a popular thing to preach, you too will be broken. Peter's ego was quite big. He followed Jesus. He dearly loved him. He wanted to follow him. And in the process, he found out what was inside his heart. All of us have things inside our heart that we are unaware of. If you continue walking with Christ, those things will be revealed to you and to others. But God still will love you, never forsake you, will trust you, and will build his church through you. Isn't that amazing? If God can build his church on such a man as Peter, he can build his church through us. Yeah? This should be one of the most encouraging sermons you hear this year. Peter was dearly loved, dearly, dearly loved, and still is. And we see the resurrection power. Ruth was talking about the resurrection power of God living within us last week. And this is what was living in Peter, because he had no room. All of his self-ego stuff had been broken and shoved aside. And God was able to fill him with his power and his love and his spirit, for him to do what he was doing, which he could never, ever have done before. There is a lecturer who is a senior professor who was doing a graduation ceremony in England at one of the big universities, and he said this to their students. He said, it isn't a matter of knowing that you've got it all together. You haven't. It is a matter of knowing that somewhere it is all together and that you are part of that. I'll read that again. It isn't a matter of knowing that you've got it all together, because we feel that pressure, don't we? To be right, to not be wrong, to not make mistakes. Well, the fact is, you haven't got it all together. I haven't got it all together. It is a matter of knowing that somewhere it is all together, and that's in God's kingdom. and that we are part of that. Isn't that great? Peter, filled with the resurrection power, says, look, I don't have any money, but what I have I give to you. In Jesus' name, Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. He points to Jesus, not himself. He'd learned that. His ego was smashed. There was less of him and more of God. What I have to you, what I have I give to you. What I and we, what we do have doesn't look like very much. We have this treasure in jars of clay, as it says in Scripture. But God's resurrection power does live in us. And it says in Romans, if we are united with him in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. This is what we have to offer others. This is the gift we have to offer others, the resurrection life of Christ. Yes, we all have many gifts, and these kids are exploring their gifts as we speak. But the essential gift is the resurrection life of Christ living in us. This is the treasure in the jar of clay. I wonder what would have happened if Peter, when he was asked the question by the beggar, if he said, hang on a sec, look, my wallet's back at home. Just hold on a few moments, I'll go back and I'll go and get it. And by the way, do you have FPOS? Our responses to people aren't always the obvious one. Yeah? The responses God wants us to make are not always the obvious one. Be aware of that. I wonder if there are others asking things of you now. This is where the practical part comes in. I wonder if there are others in your world, in your work, in your church, in your family, who are asking things of you now. Now, if they're not, then you're living in a bubble, because we're always being asked things. But there'll be one or two people who God is drawing your attention to. Of those people asking you for things, for service, for money, there'll be one or two, maybe just one, that God is saying to you, I want you to meet this person's needs in this way. What we're going to do is we're going to wait in prayer, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and bring someone to mind. Okay, let's do that. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for Peter. We thank you for his humanity. We thank you that it's recorded in the Bible. We thank you that the Bible is true. Father, we all make mistakes. We all make blunders. But you love us still. And we come back to you knowing that you are loving and kind and true. We thank you for your resurrection power within us that brings us new life. Thank you that there is less of us and more of you. Continue to break us where we need to be broken. And fill us with your life-giving Spirit, we pray. Now, Father, bring to mind one person who is asking something of us that you have brought into our lives. And we'll just wait in silence. Father, we give these people to you. We give ourselves to you. And we ask, Father, that you tell us exactly what to do in relation to this person that would give them life. And everyone said, Amen.